Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this morning, God, and we pray, or as we come to you this morning, may you speak to us, Lord. I pray that in our time of prayer, in our time of worship, Lord, that it will be a time pleasing to you, Father. May we take this time to please you, to worship you, and to look to you to start our day. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, that you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some have become arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod, or with love, and a spirit of gentleness? Okay. So, in the passage that we just read, we find out why Paul is, one of the reasons that Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And one of the primary reasons is to discipline them. And as we've been going through 1 Corinthians for the past, or as I've been going through for the past few weeks, you can see a lot of Paul's rebuke to the church, where he's talking about factionism and them elevating one another and then thinking that they're better than one another because they have a certain knowledge. And even though at times his words are harsh, and they continue to be harsh, seemingly, through the rest of 1 Corinthians, there's a purpose behind it. More so than wanting just to discipline them, to make them feel bad, he doesn't want to shame them. He wants to encourage them and exhort them. And it really speaks to the nature of discipline. I'm going off script, but I feel like God telling me to go in another direction. That's why. But the nature of discipline isn't to necessarily shame or make us feel bad. You know, being from an Asian culture, I can remember a lot of times when I was being disciplined when I was younger. Maybe it's just from my perspective, it really felt like it was more so focused on what I did wrong and how my behavior was incorrect, or just pointing. The whole point of discipline, a lot of the times where I disciplined, I felt like I was just being made to focus on what I did wrong, as opposed to showing me what was wrong so that I could be pointed to what was right. And I think that that's really the point of discipline. When we discipline someone, whether it's at work or whether it's my children or my child, or if it's anyone that is under our care, and any kind of discipline isn't to tell them what they did wrong, but to point them to how they can do it correctly, how they can be a better person. And you really see the heart of Paul in writing this when he goes, I do not write these things to shame you, but I write these things so that you know what is right. I write them to admonish you, to exhort you, to encourage you. And he does this because he really is a father to them. He really is trying to emulate the heart of the Father. That's why he says, be imitators of me. He doesn't write it here in verse 16. He writes, be imitators of me, but he doesn't include be imitators of me as I am imitator of Christ. And he writes this later in 1 Corinthians 11. He also writes that in Philippians 2, I think. But his whole point is to emulate the heart of the Father, to show the people in Corinth that it's not just I want to point out your wrong and get you to focus on it, but I want you to move forward. I want you to get better. I want you to be real good Christians. Sorry, my screen just turned off. And he uses this word tutors. You have countless tutors in Christ. And this word tutor is translated from the or is from the Greek word paedagogos. And basically that was it wasn't a tutor as how we imagine now, you know, the billboards you see on the buses of English tutors, but it was basically a caretaker for young kids that exercised a certain amount of discipline over the kids under their care, but more so they were just like babysitters in a way, and they wouldn't exert a real amount of discipline over these kids. If these kids did something wrong, they would correct them in a way, but they wouldn't necessarily teach them the way forward. They wouldn't show them, this is why we don't do these things. This is why, you know, we should do things in another way. If I can find the best illustration that came up to me was, say, Cora and myself versus our helper. Our helper is great with Jared, and she really loves him and tries her best to take care of him. But there are times where because she's such a kind-hearted woman that she won't be that strict on Jared. And so sometimes Jared will throw his food. And if Cora and I are there, we'll be like, Jared, no, don't throw your food. Do you want a timeout? And we'll give him a timeout if he continues acting out. But our helper would just be like, no, Jared. And it's not to say like she's doing anything bad, but that's the difference between what a parent, you know, what Paul feels towards these his children, his spiritual children in Corinth, as opposed to someone who's just being like a caretaker, who's just a tutor. And I think that's one of the things that he was dealing with, that there wasn't this exercise of discipline in the church in Corinth. And he's saying to the church that he wants them to walk in holiness and fullness of life as a Christian, and to imitate him just as he imitates Christ. And that's why he sends Timothy, his spiritual son, to remind them, this is how you can live. This is how you are to live. Use Timothy as an example, because he's an example of me and I'm an example of Christ. And then Paul turns his attention to those who are arrogant within the church, the ones that are behaving badly, so to speak. Here we begin to see another element of the arrogance that was present within the church. We talked about arrogance within the Corinthian church previously and how they were wanting to be elevated above one another. But here you begin to see another side of that arrogance playing out. And it wasn't just factions, but it was those who were in blatant sin. This word arrogant can also mean to be puffed up, to make proud, to bear oneself loftily. So he's saying that these people's arrogance, in some way, is you guys are, not only are you sinning, but you are being proud of your sin. You are boldly showing everyone what your sin is. And you see more evidence of this in the next chapter, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2. You have become arrogant and have not mourned. So they are showing everyone, this is what I'm doing. And I'm proud of it. More than, like, instead of being mournful and repenting of their sin, they're showing it. They're allowing people to see. I'm like, I don't care. This is perfectly fine. And so he's addressing part of this passage to them. And he tells them to watch out because he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to find out just exactly what kind of power they have. And when I was reading this, one thing came to mind is, now, I'm sure everyone here just knows Russell Peters, and there's that one part where he goes, somebody's going to get hurt real bad. And so that's the only thing I thought of, is Paul is saying, you guys better watch out, because somebody's going to get hurt real bad. I don't know who, you might know him very well, but he's giving them a warning that something's going to happen if they don't change their behavior. Their arrogance is going to cause something to happen to them. And I often wonder what Paul was going to do. Oh, he says What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? I shall find out, not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. And so what was he going to do? How was he going to find out the power of those who are arrogant? Like, what test was he going to do? Was he going to come up and say, okay, now you prophesy, or you pray over this person, or, you know, because to me, that doesn't really seem like, I don't know. For me, it doesn't really seem like real discipline. It's like, oh, you just don't get a prophetic word or whatever. It seems to me that Paul is writing about something that's real. Like, he's actually going to come with a rod and do something. You know, like I don't know what the English, but the gaimoso in Chinese. He's going to come with that and wave that around and actually cause some damage. Because he says here, shall I come to you with a rod? I don't think he's speaking of like a metaphorical rod, but something is going to happen. And two passages that I think highlight what the power that Paul was talking about. One comes from Acts 5, where Ananias and Sapphira sell their land, and they lie to Peter about it. In fact, Peter says, you're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. Why would you lie to God? And immediately they're struck dead. Right? Now this seems like very severe, but this was commonplace for the early church. These signs of power, these signs of the act of God, these signs of discipline. And so that's one example. Another example, actually, Paul writes later in 1 Corinthians 11 when he's talking about communion. And when people don't treat communion in a right manner, when they don't... I lost my place. When they don't... When they don't eat and drink rightly... he writes in 1 Corinthians 30, for this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. And so we see here that in these two passages that when people are arrogant in their sin, and they don't repent, and they continue on in their sin, and something happens to them. And it's not just let me just discipline you by, you know, casting you out of the church, but there is this real power that might include sickness and death. And really he's talking about those who are treating the grace of Jesus Christ with extreme cheapness. Like, it's okay. He's going to forgive me. I can continue doing this. And I think, you know, it's not to say that for us, when we sin, and you know, there are times where we are in blatant sin. It's not that he's going to strike us down, but there are very real consequences to our sin. And I think we might downplay those consequences because we stress the grace of God and how Jesus came to forgive us and to die for us. But, you know, when there are times, like when Paul is warning the church in Corinth, similarly, God warns us. You know, he's trying to highlight our sin. He's trying to tell us there's areas of our life where we are blatantly sinning, even though we might not recognize it. Like, we are still blatantly sinning. And we might say like, no, it's okay. He will forgive me. But the consequences of those kinds of sin are very real. That they do have, there is going to be some tangible consequences for us. It's not to say that we'll be struck dead, but it will affect us in a major way. One of the things that actually, I would say last year, for the entirety of last year, I was kind of going through this season where I was being very arrogant and blatantly sinning. Even though I kind of saw it, but I didn't really want to. And at times I just kind of ignored it. I think God was highlighting a lot of areas in my life and a lot of times in my life where I was sinning. And he was writing to me like Paul is like, don't be arrogant. Because when I come, you know, I will find out your power. And when I come, you choose, do I come with a rod or do I come with love and a spirit of gentleness? And, you know, ultimately, I chose wrong. And, I mean, looking back now, I can see what God was trying to do to get my attention. But one of the things that I lacked last year was just spiritual discipline. For us as pastors, once every 2 months, we gather together and we fast and we spend a day fasting. And the next day we go out, we have breakfast and we just talk about pastoral life or PSAM gives us a teaching. And so what ended up happening, and this is just one example of kind of what was going on with the rest of my life. Like with the fasting for that one day, it wasn't so much fasting. It was just, I'm not going to eat for one day. I can do this. I've fasted for 21 days before. Like fasting for one day is like child's play. I mean, normally I might not eat breakfast and I'll just skip lunch and I'll have a big dinner. Now I'm just going to skip dinner and go to sleep. That's fine. Right. And so I wasn't treating fasting with the reverence that I should have. It was just one day without eating instead of, you know, I should go pray. I should go seek God. I should really spend time with him. And so, you know, this is just is one example of how I was lacking a lot of spiritual discipline last year. And God really had to discipline me in a major way. And it really hurt. I really had to be humbled. And while I was humbled, at the same time, I would say from like January to March this year, I began to see how God was bringing his rod. And I mean, it didn't physically hurt, but my pride was really, it was like smashed. And I felt like I should just go in a corner and die at times. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, I failed in my job. I'm not really, you know, doing the best I can for my college students and shepherding them and so on and so forth. But what God was doing at the same time was exactly what Paul's writing about. He wasn't doing this to just make me focus on what I did wrong, not just to punish me for what I did wrong, but he wanted to show me, you can do better. There is a better way. You can be spiritually disciplined and in all areas of your life. And so one of the things that really snapped me out of my ignorance and arrogance is we were asked the question when we were in Israel during the staff retreat, and this question really helped me put it together and to see what God was doing. And the question was, can you identify a time of discipline of the Lord in your life? And I thought about that question. Like, I really can't see, or it's been a long time since I felt the discipline of the Lord. And I thought about my response. I'm like, that's not a good response, because I think God is always disciplining us, because God is in a process of continually sanctifying us. We're going through this process of sanctification. We are being made holy, which means we have sin. That's why we need to be made holy. Right? And if we can't identify where God is disciplining us, if we can't identify areas in our life where God is trying to speak to us to tell us, hey, there's something that I want you to get better at. There's something that I want to fix, and you know, I want you to come along with me. If we can't identify those areas, then it's not that they're not happening. But the question is, are we looking to see? Are we being aware of what God wants to do in our lives? See, I would argue that we are always in a season of discipline. And I think sometimes in our heads we're like, well, no, because life is going good for me. I can genuinely say that I'm walking with the Lord, and I feel like I'm pleasing him with my ways, and he's pleased with me, and this and that. And I would say, that's good. You're still in a season of discipline. It's just that you're recognizing the discipline and allowing him to discipline you, and you're walking with him through this process. And so, I think the question for us today is, you know, do we recognize how God is disciplining us? Can we see him disciplining us? And if we can't, you know, maybe it's time we opened our eyes and really took the time to pray and ask God, you know, where are you disciplining me? So as Pastor Nate comes up to lead us in worship, let's pray, let's ask God, you know, which area of my life, you know, how are you, God? How are you showing me discipline? And knowing that, you know, his discipline isn't anything malicious, but it is really out of love for us. It's really out of love for us. And he wants us to have a full life. He wants us to have an amazing life. He wants us to live life in freedom. So as we pray and as we worship, let's just ask God how he's moving in our life that way.
Oh, come fall afresh on me. Come awake me from my sleep. Go through the cavern of my soul. Caverns of my soul, pour in me to overflow.
Holy Spirit, we just ask you come and wake us from our slumber, from areas where we do not see because of our sin, Lord. Of just wake us up, Lord, and help us see, Lord. Help us see that path forward, God, not just to focus on what we've done wrong, but how to continue moving, walking with you, Lord. And so, God, I pray, Lord, for all of us today, that if, as we are in a season of discipline, Lord, may we respond, God, and walk with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and that you want the best for us, God, and that everything that you do is to exhort us and to admonish us, and it's just for our good, Lord. And so we thank you. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community who cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Pray for those who are sick and yet to have to receive the word of God into their hearts. For those in our community who are sick with various infirmities. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open up doors and opportunities for them. Pray for Mission Focus, Singapore, SPSG, SP Indonesia, and SP New York. Let's pray for all these different SP churches that God continues to move in them and to grow the church, not just in numbers, but grow each individual member of these churches spiritually. Pray for our education ministry, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU, college students. Let's pray that even though they may be young, some of them not so young, that they come to know God in an early age, and that they come to love Him and know just how amazing, incredible He is, and just make that choice and decision to follow Him. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well and River. Let's just ask for God to speak through the IP and that their incredible testimonies of Well and River. Let's pray for God's work. Pray for Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for our missions team in Hong Kong, Shanti VBS, working with the ethnic minority kids in Yuen Long. Let's just pray for God's covering and for the kids that are attending VBS that they will encounter God through the camp. Thank you. God, we thank you for your discipline, Lord. May we not run from it, Lord. May we not be afraid. May we not be scared of it, Lord. But may we embrace your discipline, Lord, knowing that you are sanctifying us. You are making us holy. You are transforming us into the image of God, Lord, into who you have created us to be, Lord. And so help us open our hearts, God. Holy Spirit, move and work in us, Lord, to help us see how you are disciplining us so that we may just stop resisting and embrace it, God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time of prayer, for this time of worship, Lord. And we pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.